Amen. Thank you, Miss Ann. It's good to see you today. I hope you're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Before we begin, I want to share a prayer need with you. I got a text yesterday. It was kind of an alarming text from one of my friends in Africa. I've been to Kenya 3 times on mission trips, and the last time we took a group from our church here at First Baptist and went there and worked with this pastor there. About 10 years ago, what they thought they were doing was purchase some property, built a house, and also built a church. But it turns out that whoever they bought the house from didn't really own it. And so after 10 years of living in the same spot and building up the church, the pastor's been evicted from his house and his family. I've got pictures and videos of tractors and heavy equipment moving in to their neighborhood. And basically, they're evicting everybody. All the structures will be bulldozed and torn down. So the pastor's family and his church members are kind of out sleeping in the cold last night, as far as I know. He said they're doing their best to find a place to rent to be able to stay, but evidently it's been in the courts for a while, and the courts ruled, and boom, they just descended on that property yesterday and started evicting people. So anyway, his name is Shandrach, sort of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with an N in it. Shandrach and Dorothy is his wife's name, and their children, and then their church family. So let's just begin with a prayer for them and their needs. We sang a song in early worship called Everything, that God gives us everything we need. So we're praying right today that God would give them everything they need in this time of need that they have. So join me in prayer. Lord, we begin this time of prayer and this time of worship concerned about our brothers and sisters over in Kenya who are facing a terrible situation, not of their own doing, but Lord, evidently they were taken advantage of and poured out a lot of their money, and a lot of things that they've built up are being destroyed. And I just pray, God, that you'll provide for their needs and restore them to a good home and a good place of worship. And I pray that you'll provide for all their needs in this deep time of trouble and trial for them. Strengthen the pastor and help him to minister to his congregation. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bring about good from this terrible situation. And we know that you work together in all things to bring about good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We pray that you'll bring about good in this situation that seems so bad right now. Help them in their deepest need. I pray for the other needs in our church family and congregation and our city and community and country and even our whole world, as we know of battles and war going on in Ukraine and Russia and in Israel and Gaza. I just pray, God, that you'll do a mighty work in all this and bring about your glory, that you'll protect the Christians and the followers of you and the nation of Israel, and just protect those. And Lord, I know that not everybody that claims the name of Christian is truly a Christian, but Lord, we do pray for the people, humans, Lord, that are in the midst of these struggles and trials, and give our country leadership wisdom in the decisions they make and the help that they provide, that it'll be used wisely and for your glory. I pray that you'll guide our country in this. I pray that you'll bless us now as we worship. Bless our pastor as he brings your word to us and brings the truth, and may we take hold of it and live it every day of our lives. Strengthen the choir as they sing, and Candy as she sings later, and everybody that has a part in the service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worship the Holy God.
desire today is to come and to worship a holy God. He is holy, he is righteous, he is worthy of praise. So lift up your voices, your hearts before him today as we sing hymn number 56, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done."
Glad you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad the Lord's led you to First Baptist Church to worship today. You'll notice that we don't have a bulletin today. All we got is just one little bitty sheet of paper. It's got both of our worship services on it, so you can follow along on this piece of paper for our worship today. We didn't have an office this week, and so we didn't have an opportunity to even make a bulletin this week, so we made this last week, but you've got that in your hand. We'll talk about changes that we've got going on right after we get through with our worship service. Those of you that are guests today, we're glad the Lord has led you to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
every breath that you have, praise the Lord. Stand as we sing an offertory hymn today. It's hymn number 692. Just remain seated until the last stanza. I'll stand us all together as we stand for the offering at that point. 692, God will take care of you.
Will you bow with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful fall day, this change of seasons. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful world you've blessed us with that reflects your glory in so many ways, God. And we thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come here and worship freely and without fear, God. We thank you for the love that you've shown us, God. We know, especially today, that not everyone in the world has these comforts, God. And we ask that you please be with us. Please help us when we see hatred to show your love, when we see war to bring peace, and when we see darkness, please help us to be your light. And in this time of offering, God, please forgive us of our selfishness and help us to commit our lives to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and a home? Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know me, and I sing because I'm happy. Yes, I sing because I'm free. such as me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. I draw thee closer to me.
Singing, she sang His Eyes on the Sparrow in early worship. And then she sang it again in this worship service. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But I can't thank you enough for doing that this morning. How great that has been. Last Sunday, from Malachi chapter 3,
we talked about the fear of the Lord. And we talked about what it means to fear the Father. Now, we're not talking about being afraid of God, living in fear of what He is and who He is and what He can do to us. We're not talking about that kind of afraid, as if I was afraid of my Uncle Norman and my Aunt Margaret, not that kind of fear. But we were talking about reverential awe to the Lord for who He is, for what He has given to us. We're talking about not wanting to disappoint the Father, living our lives for the one who has given us life. Everything that I am, everything that I have, is because of the gifts of the Father that He's given to me. So my physical life, I'm literally here because the Creator created me and has given me life. And then all of the physical blessings that God has given to me, in my life, my 60 years of living, all of those blessings come to me from the Father. And then, more importantly, the spiritual blessings. Everlasting life, abundant life, freedom from the condemnation of my sin, which I deserve. But I'm free from that condemnation because of the gospel, the good news. That comes from God. He gave us His one and only Son that we could have life. So all of the physical blessings, all of the spiritual blessings, everything I am, everything I have, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, emotionally, spiritually, physically, everything is God's wonderful gift of life to me. Now, in turn then, I then want to give my life back to the Father for all of these great, incredible blessings and gifts of life. And so I'm in awe of Him. I have reverence for Him. King Solomon tells us over and over and over again in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the foundation, or it is the beginning of wisdom. And so we're talking about that kind of fear, fearing the Father for who He is and for what He has given to us in Christ Jesus. Well, today in Matthew chapter 10, that's our passage for today, Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 31, we're going to continue with this same thought of fearing the Lord, living our lives in reverential awe of the Father. The reason that I had Candy Patterson, there's two reasons why I asked Candy Patterson to sing that song in both worship services. By the way, you can imagine, now that song was written, I'll tell you about it in just a moment, was written more than 100 years ago. All right, so to have that song in the early worship was so good and so unique, because that we never do that kind of thing in the early worship. And there were so many people in the early worship that said to me after early worship was over with, that was great to just have that in our worship service. So Candy sang that in the early, she sang it in the late. And there's two reasons why I asked Candy Patterson to sing that song. Number one is because nobody sings it better than Candy Patterson. Nobody. If you've got the person who sings that song better than anybody else that's ever lived or walked on planet Earth coming to this church, why wouldn't you then have her sing that song? So it was just immediate in my mind when I knew about I was going to use that illustration this morning. I thought, well, Candy Patterson's going to have to sing that song. So I saw her here about a month ago. She was upstairs fixing the bulletin board for the WMU. So I walked up there and I said, Candy, I got a big favor I want to ask of you. And she went, oh, okay, what do you want? So I said, can you sing His Eyes on the Sparrow on October the 15th? And she said, well, sure. So then I went to Ken. And I said, now, Ken, I never try to mess in with the music. You do the music and I'll do the preaching. But I really need this favor. I really want this favor. So can Candy Patterson sing? Well, of course, Joel, of course she can. Then we found out that Karen wasn't going to be here for the day. And so I was then thinking, oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Ken said, no worries, I'll play it for her. So it all worked out great. Candy sang this incredible, powerful song because the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today, that song, that old song, you'll be shocked at how old that song actually is. That old song is based on this passage of Scripture. It was written by a woman named Savilla Martin. And she wrote this song in response to a relationship that she had with this family. She described, I'm going to just allow her to describe it in her own words, how she came to write this song. In the spring of 1905, which I cannot believe that that song was written in 1905. I cannot believe that that song has been around for more than 100 years. But she says, in the spring of 1905, my husband and I were sojourning in Elmira, New York. We contracted a deep friendship with a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, true saints of God. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for over 20 years. Her husband was an incurable cripple who had to propel himself to and from his business, in a wheelchair. So think about that. Mrs. Doolittle was in bed for 20 years while they visited with them. The husband, Mr. Doolittle, had to ride in 1905, that there was not a lot of handicap access. Wheelchairs were certainly not the way they are today. So he had to propel himself, push himself in his wheelchair back and forth to work every single day while Mrs. Doolittle was in bed. Despite their afflictions, they lived happy Christian lives, being an inspiration and comfort to all who knew them. One day while we were visiting with the Doolittles, my husband commented on their bright hopefulness and he asked them the secret of their joy in the midst of their pain. Mrs. Doolittle's reply was very simple. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. She said the beauty of this expression, just the simple faith that Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle expressed, gripped my heart, and that same evening I wrote the words for the song, and as they say, the rest is history. Listen to the words once again. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and this is my favorite line in the whole song. And I sing because I'm free. So no matter what our experiences, no matter what we're going through, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation in life, I sing because what? I am free in Christ Jesus. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that He watches me. So the lyrics of that song were taken from our passage for today, Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, because they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without the Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are numbered. So, don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. So I asked the question that I asked last Sunday from Dustin Hornbuckle. Dustin, who had spoken to the men's breakfast. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? It's a God-given emotion. We all have fear. The question is not, have we been afraid? Are we going to be afraid? Do we have some kind of fear in our life? The question more is, what is it that brings fear, that wells up fear in you? So earlier in chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent out His disciples, and He sent them out with the warning that they were going to be sheep among wolves. That there would be people that would try to harm them. There would be people that would try to put them in prison. There would be people that would even try to kill them. And then Jesus said, after sending them out to literally as sheep among wolves in that environment that was going to physically harm them and going to do all kind of things to them, then Jesus said, but don't be afraid of what you're about to go through, about what you're about to experience. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Fear, as we discussed a little bit last week, can be something that moves us toward the Father for us to be all that God wants us to be. Fear can be that thing that moves us to do what God has called us to do. And fear can also be that very thing that just cripples us, that shackles us. It can be so debilitating, and it can be the thing that literally holds us in fear of what God wants us to be and where God wants us to go and what God wants us to do. That Greek word fear is phobos, and there are, at my last check, I made sure I said this morning, those of you that are in the medical field, don't hold me to this number. But years ago, the last time I checked, there were 254 recognized forms of phobia in our world. There are many phobias. Fear of spiders. Fear of snakes. I have that fear. I am scared to death of snakes. Fear of flying. Fear of public speaking. I asked in the early worship, I didn't want them to raise their hand. I was just asking the question. You know how I ask questions all the time. And I don't really mean for you to answer. I don't really mean for you to raise your hand. But I said, how many of you in here are afraid of public speaking? And you can't believe in that early worship. People were When I was a freshman in college, I took a C in a class, which for me was not bad. A C was pretty good when I was a freshman in college. When I was a freshman in college, I had a speech class, communications and speech. And I took a C in that class because at the end of the class, we had to give a 5-minute speech to our class. 15 people sitting in the class, and I couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to stand in front of 15 people to do a speech. I wrote the speech. I had the speech ready to go. But I could not make myself go to that class and give that speech. I would rather take a bad grade. The fear of standing in front of those people and having to speak was just gripping. How ironic that the Father would take that same guy that was scared to death of 15 people to speak in front of and turn me into a preacher where I had to do this every single Sunday. But there's a lot of people with the fear of public speaking, the fear of confined spaces. I'm scared to death of confined spaces. I have claustrophobia. The two or three times in my life that I've had what could be considered a panic attack came because of being in a confined space, and it just gripped me. So I have that fear of confined spaces. Many have the fear of heights. Last night at the reception for Gracie Harrell's, after Gracie's wedding, we were at the reception, and Janice and I sat with Karen and Rort McDonald. They're home from Oregon for a couple of weeks, and we sat with Rourke and Karen and had a good time talking. And they were talking about going, one of the experiences that they've gone through is this zip lining course. And how Rourke is afraid of heights. And I looked at Rourke and I said, "Are you really?" He said, "Yes, I'm scared to death of heights." But they did it anyway. So there's people with all kinds of phobias and fears and scared to death of confined spaces, scared to death of heights, scared to death of not having enough money to pay the bills. Fear of an abuser. So fear, 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 fear. It can just grip us. After the early worship was over with, one of our ladies, I love her more than life itself. And so she met me on stage and she was sobbing. When I say sobbing, I don't mean crying a little bit, but sobbing. She said, "Joel, I have had the fear of not being loved my entire life." And I could go into some history there and kind of give you, but that's not the point. But I've had that fear of not being loved. But over the past several years, the Father has been pulling that out of me and showing me how much He loves me, showing me how much of love He has for me, and through other situations, how much gift of life the Father has been given to me. And boy, she just was crying. And how I needed that sermon. I didn't know that about her. I didn't write the sermon with her in mind. I didn't know anything about that at all. But the Father spoke so clearly to her about things that we are afraid of. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, because the worst thing that can happen to you is you die. And Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen to us when we die. For those of us who know Him as Savior and Lord, so if He knows what's going to happen to us when we die, He's got all of that perfectly pictured in His mind. And then Jesus says, by the way, I know where you're going. I know what it's going to be. I know what it's going to look like. So I'm telling you, as one who's already been there and done that, I'm telling you, don't be afraid then of dying. We need to take Him at His word. We need to listen very carefully. We need to pay attention. Jesus told us that there's only one that we should fear, and that is God Himself, because He's the one that has the power. He's the one that has the authority to kill both the body and the soul. And once again, He's not talking about being afraid of the Lord like I was afraid last Sunday of my Uncle Norman and my Aunt Margaret, scared to death, paralyzed in fear around them. He's talking about reverential awe for Him. Once again, King Solomon in the book of Proverbs over and over and over again says, the fear of the Lord, this kind of fear, in awe, reverential awe for Him, that is the beginning and the foundation of true wisdom. There is fear right now in our world that my little mind can't begin to fathom. Fear in Europe, a war that's been going on in Europe for over a year. Fear now in the Middle East. I cannot begin to understand that kind of fear. Fear right here at home, in our own backyard here in America. It's just everywhere, all over our world. It's very timely, I think, that we hear Matthew and Jesus, Matthew recording Jesus, Malachi, King Solomon, the fear of the Lord, having a loving respect and awe for the one who is sovereign over it all. The Bible tells us on several occasions that God knows the number of hairs on our head. I said this morning in early worship, this is typically the part of the sermon where I poke fun at Ken. The point is very simple. Look at the illustrations that Jesus uses. Hair on a head. Two little sparrows. The point is very, very simple. If God is big enough, smart enough, sovereign enough to know right now the number of hair on your head, then isn't He sovereign enough, smart enough to know everything else about me? To know everything else about you? Sparrows are some of the most plentiful common birds in the world. Jesus said two sparrows sell for a penny. A penny is our smallest coin, and it's actually the word that Jesus used is really, in all actuality, about a fourth of our penny. So, in other words, two sparrows would sell for a half of a penny in our currency. Same thing. Just like hair on a head. Same thing. Cheap. Common. But if God cares for the most common, unnoticed birds, then certainly He cares for you, and He cares for me. Said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no father such as cares for you and me. But we do. But we do have a loving Father who cares about every single detail of our lives. So, what are you afraid of? What wells up fear in your heart? For that one today, it was the fear of never being loved, really, really knowing love. For others, it's all kind of things. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Father, thank You for a powerful word today through song. Most importantly, through Your word. Jesus, looking at a group of people that had been sent out in a mean, tough world. A world that would literally try to kill them. Take their very life. And what powerful words that Jesus said to them. And now here we are 2,000 years later, and the same words still ring true to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about those who can just kill the body. Worry about the one who is in charge of body and soul. And if He can know the very number of hairs on your head, if He can know and take care of the sparrows that fly, common birds, then certainly He knows you. and He cares for you. What a powerful word today, Father. For those who do not know You as Savior and Lord today, our prayer is that today is the day of salvation for them, that they will know what it means to put their lives into the hands of the One who cares about them, who has given them life and the opportunity for spiritual life. For those of us who know You as Savior and Lord today, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the repentance of our sin, and power of the Holy Spirit in us, the Father loves us and takes care of us and will do so for all eternity. May we rest in that powerful truth today. Thank You, Father, that You love us that much. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is, God will make a way. If you've never trusted Christ and you've heard the invitation and you've heard the invitation to know Christ as Savior and Lord and to make that public today, I'll be here at the front and to receive you. If you need to come and pray, if you need to join our church right here at First Baptist, whatever you need to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me close.
Be seated for just a moment. Make sure we cover a few announcements. Do we? Yes, we do. Mature Adult Day Trip is coming up this Tuesday, the 17th. Scott and Orchard, Posey Restaurant, and the Cook Museum. Sign up on the Old Lord's Supper Table. At least now, the Old Lord's Supper Table is in the correct spot out in the hallway. So find the sign up for that. All right, next, we've got the Senior Adult Fall Festival that's coming up at Solitude Baptist Church. You see that October the 26th. Traditional hymn sing. Ken's a part of that, the gospel quartet. And then Ray Luck, one of our very own, he's going to be the preacher for that thing. So that's coming up on the 26th, all right? And then we have our Trunk or Treat coming up on the last Sunday night of this month. Looking forward to that. Trunk or Treat is always a fun night. Talk to Micah about what you need to know as far as that night is concerned, all right? Warren has got sign-up sheets for Kairos. Kairos, when they go into the prison for the weekend, toward the end of October, and then for us to be able to sign up to have 30-minute times of prayer for the whole weekend, 24 hours a day, that whole weekend, while Warren and others are in the prison and they're ministering and sharing the gospel. So if you want to sign up and be a part of that, please do. All right, Ken?
Wednesday night, we will resume our multi-generational rehearsal. That'll be at 7:45 to 8:15. So we've been having a good crowd and a good time doing that. On next Sunday, the youth choir will meet again right after this service in the choir room. Choir room has yet to be finished with the carpet hopefully tomorrow they'll get to that and get finished with it. And so the children's choir will meet tomorrow, but we'll meet in the sanctuary to have practice.
All right, so as you notice, you've come back to church today, and you notice we've got new carpet all through the hallway, in the offices. Finally got our office back this later in the week, all the way up. We've got the LVP up toward the fellowship hall. It's not finished yet, but they're very, very, very close. They've got all kinds of things that they'll have to do with the thresholds and doorways, and then do the music suite, and then the children's worship room. They'll start on that tomorrow, those places, and finish up there. And so they have done an excellent job, and it looks absolutely fabulous, and we're so excited. But there's a lot of moving parts still going on. Hopefully, by next Sunday, it'll all be kind of back in place. I do want to point out one thing that's kind of funny. But right when you leave, and you walk, if you go out the door, right out the back door right there, and you're walking toward that doorway, you'll notice that it looks just like there are two different colors of carpet there. Blake and I were the first to notice that, and we turned the corner, and Blake said, "Why in the world did they put two different colors of carpet? Why would they do that right in that little spot?" And I said, "Well, Blake, I don't have any idea. The guys were already gone for the day." And so Blake said, "Well, tomorrow morning we'll have to talk to them about that. We don't know why in the world they would do that." Well, we stood over there and talked about it and just thought, it just doesn't make any sense. And finally, I turned, and when I turned around, the shadow hit it, and we looked at each other and went, "Well, we're just big as fools that there is. It's the light. It's the way the light hits it. Same carpet." But the reason I say that today, and I said it in early worship, is because yesterday at that wedding, for Gracie Harrell's wedding, I bet I had 50 people say to me, "Hey, come here. Why did they put two different colors of carpet?" I mean, it's, well, when we turn out the light, you'll notice it's not two different colors. It's the same carpet. But boy, the way that light hits it, it's perfect. Now, we don't need a stampede of y'all going out there to see what it looks like. So be careful when you leave today. All right, so great day. We're almost done with all of the carpet and all of that, and it looks great, and we're really excited about it. Our offices are back up and running, so tomorrow morning, offices will be open and ready to go. All right, let's close by singing, "His Eye Is on the Sparrow."
I sing because I'm happy.